That is right. No quote from the Founding Fathers up front on today's show. I know it's a super big change for you all, but you're going to see why in a moment. I also know that it's been 2 weeks since we last got together, and for that, I really truly apologize. But as I began to think about the next step on the path towards reviving liberty, I actually began to realize that this one is going to be the one that I have to be the most careful about, the most thoughtful, the most thought out about. And that's because this one is going to be part history lesson and part call to action. And therefore, I did want to gather my thoughts more thoroughly and get this one right before I just put it out there without much thought. And let's just be real here. This step on this path deserves a ton of thought. Today, I am taking you on the step of starting to play offense. We have got to stop our obsession with outrage and victimhood and begin to actually engage and fight for liberty to win the spiritual battle that is afoot in this country. And yes, I said spiritual. This is not some political fight won by whichever side wins one election or two elections, and then they get to put their legislation through in Congress or even into your state or local governments. That's not going to cut it. This is a worldview battle, and right now, there can be only one winner. Either we stem the tide of socialism, government-owned rights, or we don't. And liberty and freedom die in our generation. It is as simple as that. Two worldviews enter the arena, only one is going to win out. And if liberty does die, it may be centuries before it comes back, if at all. So today, I'm taking you on the step that will show you a path towards making sure that liberty is indeed revived instead of given a slow death. This is all of the things that we have talked about kind of lead right into this step. All the previous things that we have done gives you the foundation to go on offense. It is time that we do go on offense, by the way, against the woke mobs that are out there, against those that pose a threat to liberty, our natural right to liberty. Wherever those people exist, and whatever side of the political or cultural divide they exist on, it doesn't matter to me if they've got an R next to their name, a donkey, or Team L either. Because believe you me, there are those in the Libertarian Party who do not hold actual liberty dear either. Oh, and by the way, before I forget, if you're new here, my name is Andrew Coppins, and this is Reviving Liberty. You can reach me on social media at The Coppins Show, and of course, revivingliberty.com for all of your needs surrounding the show. So as I was saying, this is going to be part history lesson and part call to action, and I want to start with the history lesson. Now, currently, I'm reading up on the colonial times in America because, well, I'm a history buff, to say the least. And actually, I nearly became a history teacher back in the day. Talk about dodging a bullet, right? Anywho, as I had been reading up on that whole colonial history stuff, I came to a very interesting time and some very harsh truths about our founding fathers are pretty much laid bare in this time frame. And I'm talking about the time surrounding the Stamp Act of 1765 and beyond. And I firmly believe that those times give us an actual blueprint to allow liberty to shine against the spirit of today's age, just as it did back then. If you've been with me since the beginning, I am not somebody who's just interested in the nostalgia of the, oh, look at how great, grand, wonderful our founding fathers were, and then glossing over their flaws, as many seem to want to do on the right today, let alone the opposite, where the left just likes to vilify and not talk about all of the good advancements in government, in society, in culture, and everything else that came from our founding fathers. But I do believe that it would also be foolish to not take up the lessons that can be taught by their lived experiences. As much as I'm not interested in the nostalgia of the time, that doesn't mean there are not lessons that can be applied today. Because it is in their reaction to the Stamp Act of 1765 and the period surrounding it that gives us a blueprint that we can use to combat our spirit of this age. Because what they did was actually to demonstrate power, playing offense, and holding fast to principles while being totally under control. They were calculating. They were smart. They were brave. And they got results. And that's what we're pretty much looking for here today. Am I right? So gone is the time today to be passive. I hope you understand that given what took place over the past couple of weeks with the federal government raiding a former president, not cooperating, all the craziness and the chaos that continues to go on. Gone is the time to be passive. I don't know if any of the, tens of thousands of examples from just this past week alone give you the example or not, but hint, passivity doesn't work anymore. Gone is the day of just holding those Oxford-style debates of the Soho Forum from Reason, as fun as those can... Oh, wait, they're not really all that fun. Gone is the day of compromising legislatively so that we could all continue to play the game again tomorrow, right? We still all want to be in the same sandbox. We promise we won't kick down the castle, except for they don't care about your castle, let alone the sandbox. Oh, anyway. Now, we've already long established that those on the side of the spirit of the age today are not interested in playing the game as it's been played throughout much of the 20th into the 21st century. You see, they were largely busy playing offense based off of their values and principles and ending up in control of most aspects of culture, government, academia, spiritual life. I could go on and on and on. They have not been interested in liberty for the most people, just liberty as they would like to see it. And if you don't like it the way they see it, toe the line or else. Now, I could go on and on and on about all of the examples of that in every aspect of our lives. But that is beating the drum that I've been beating this whole freaking podcast. And I think or hope you've gotten the message by now. But let's go ahead and get back to the Sons of Liberty in 1765, the year of the Stamp Act. Because I want you to understand what it truly means to play offense against the spirit of the age, even back then. Even though the spirit of that age was a little bit different, still tyranny. So let's take this letter from John Adams, wrote late in December of 1765. Quote, "The year 1765 has been the most remarkable year of my life. That enormous engine fabricated by the British Parliament for battering down all the rights and liberties of America, I mean the Stamp Act, has raised and spread through the whole continent a spirit that will be recorded to our honor with all future generations." Unquote. And there's still way more to come from this letter, by the way, but I wanted to stop right there for a second. And hopefully you've been picking up a few lessons already about playing offense. Number one lesson, Adams and the rest of the Sons of Liberty are totally hip to the game the British are attempting to play, and they want none of it. Number two, the imposition of the Stamp Act was so repulsive to the Sons of Liberty that action was about to be required. Required. Action required. Number three, did you pick up on the very final sentence? The sentence that said, "I mean The Stamp Act has raised and spread through the whole continent a spirit that will be recorded to our honor with all future generations. I want you to think about that. These guys knew. And by the way, this letter was written around the same time, I believe in December of 1765. So I want you to think about that. Even in the present that they were living in, these guys knew at their core that they were going to be remembered by future generations. One way or another. How could that be known by these people? How does that happen? Well, they knew the righteousness of the cause and the ungodly treatment by the British Crown that came with the Stamp Act. They knew and intimately felt liberty was connected with godliness. So much so that they knew what they were doing would have a lasting and historical meaning to it. That, my friends, is how Adams in 1765 writes that sentence. Does anybody, let's move it to the present time, does anybody who claims the mantle of liberty and the liberty movement today think, speak, or act as if they know the outcome? They know future generations are going to know who they are. They know they have the righteous cause on their side. I don't really think so. It sure ain't the father of the authoritarian government response to COVID, Donald Trump. I mean, that would probably be the name that some on the right come up with. But no way, no how is MAGA in the whole MAGA movement, whatever the hell that is, or America First, a righteous cause. Who is driving the bus of liberty today, I ask you? If you want to go down the metaphor route, I guess, I mean, whatever, but newsflash, the people driving the bus are you, me, us. It is our group of liberty-minded people. It is us being the ones that get active going forward, and we stop looking at other people to lead. That is part and parcel of why this podcast exists in the first place, by the way. I am done being passive. I am done looking to others with quote-unquote more money, more prestige, more this, more that, to be leaders. Because they have had the levers of power time and again for my entire adult life. And here we are over the course of the last 22 years watching this country's liberty fall apart. I am done not playing offense. So, let me ask you another simple question. Whether you think those people are leaders, right? The politicians, the radio hosts, whatever, right? Are they the people living in your town? Not really. Are they the people that will be affected by the loss of liberty? Not really. It's you that are. It is you that live in these small towns. It is you that drives the bus. And I'm going to have more on this concept of you, me, we on the next episode. But I do want to get back to the Adams letter here because he does go on to really give us the blueprint for playing offense instead of being offended. Now, Adams continued in his letter saying, quote, "In every colony from Georgia to New Hampshire, inclusively, the stamp distributors and inspectors have been compelled by the unconquerable rage of the people to renounce their offices. Such and so universal has been the resentment of the people that every man who has dared to speak in favor of the stamps or to soften the destination in which they are held, how great soever his abilities and virtues had been esteemed before, or whatever his fortune, connections and influence had been, has been seen to sink into universal contempt and ignominy." So let us pause for a moment as I butcher some of the English language from 1765. But here it is, in this paragraph, in this part of the letter, Adams openly telling the people in December of 1765, again, Stamp Act comes into fruition late 64, early 65, and within the entire year, he is openly telling the people of his day that they must and were already confrontational about liberty, that liberty was so important to every single one of the 13 colonies. Not every colonist, but nearly everybody that was active in those colonies, that those that dared to speak up in favor of the Stamp Act knew something bad was coming their way, whether that was being ostracized from society, whether that was being harassed, harangued, whether that was being pushed away, whether that was being physically forced back onto ships and put back to Britain, that things were so well known by the end of 1765 that those who wanted the job, those that were going to get the job, oftentimes said, yeah, no, thank you. Or more importantly, I'm done. See you later. If they dared to speak up in favor, they knew consequences were coming their way. So let's fast forward to today and ask yourself another very simple question. Are you the ones that are holding and wielding that kind of societal power? Or is the spirit of the age? Are we, the liberty-minded individual, cowering in fear of, well, what happens? I might lose my job if I speak. I might lose some friends. Oh, my social media following is going to go down. My status in society. Or is that the spirit of the age that's cowering in fear? Think about that. Think about what side is afraid of consequences. Again, that's why I think it's important to understand this. While I firmly believe that rooting ourselves in God, rooting ourselves in principles like natural rights, personal freedom, economic freedom, free markets, self-governance, right? I firmly believe that those principles matter. Now, it doesn't help that those that are on the side of the spirit of the age hold all the levers of power. I'm not denying that. But by and large, we on the side of liberty are the ones who are being run out of town, so to speak. We're the ones that have to conform or get run over. It isn't the righteous cause of liberty that has people daring to, I don't know, not stand up to authoritarian and immoral actions of our government. It's the exact opposite. Everything is opposite of the way it was in 1765, right? Are we really to suggest that minor attracted persons, that I'm a boy today, a girl tomorrow, and banana nut muffin tomorrow is the right and righteous cause? Are we really to suggest that either you use my correct pronoun or you be bigot? Are we really to suggest that gay orgies everywhere or orgies everywhere or whatever you want to talk about, anything that is associated with that is right and righteous? Are we really to suggest that lockdowns forever and screw your business in the name of what? Disease that killed maybe 0.003% of the population? Are we to suggest that if we just give up that liberty for a couple of weeks, they're not going to take the mile? That, folks, is why it is time that we recognize that with the strength that is given to us by the understanding of that relationship to God and our principles, that we have to, it is our calling to stand up. We must be that voice that says, no more. This and here. This and now. Think of Gandalf in The Lord of the Rings and his mighty, "You shall not pass," moment, right? Think of that. He stands in the face of the spirit of the age, literally embodied in front of him in this movie, and in, more importantly, in the books. This moment is literally an allegory for the devil has no home here. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about play offense. You take a stand. You stand firm in the devil, which is represented by the spirit of the age. You shall not pass. You don't get to come any further. Go away. You have no power here anymore. But the Sons of Liberty, specifically John Adams, continue with the blueprint to help us understand the power that they had. And by the way, the other part of the power of Gandalf and the whole allegory in Lord of the Rings is that he has power, but is under control. Again, power under control. The other part we have to understand is that we must be willing to wield said power in pursuit of liberty for even those who wish to not have it. Adams continued in that letter, quote, "The people, even to the lowest ranks, have become more attentive to their liberties, more inquisitive about them, and more determined to defend them than they were ever before known or had occasion to be. Innumerable have been the monuments of wit, humor, sense, learning, spirit, patriotism, and heroism erected in the several colonies and provinces in the course of this year. Our presses have groaned, our pulpits have thundered, our legislatures have resolved, our towns have voted, the crown officers have everywhere trembled, and all their little tools and creatures have been afraid to speak and ashamed to be seen." Think about that. He talks about the press. He talks about the pulpit. He talks about the politics. He talks about the crown officers. That's right. Use the tools, the press, the pulpit. Ask yourself this from the pulpit today. Is it the spirit of the age speaking or is it the spirit of Christ? I ask this as we watch churches literally tell us that pedophilia is okay. We watch the rot happening in our church. We watch them cower in fear of government, knowing that they had no dominion over the people who believe in God. God over government. Oh, please let us have our churches, masses. Please let us have our masses. We'll be good little sheeple. Or have they used power, the power of Christ, to say, not here, not now, not ever again. Now, I want you to think about that. 1765, was it everybody being active in pursuit of liberty? Well, much as the nostalgia for the colonial times crowd would have you believe, actually, no. It wasn't everybody being active. What Adams means by the people is the Sons of Liberty, the people who are active. It turns out even the lowest ranking of the people. Now, what you also need to know about what was going on in 1765 was the first Great Awakening. See, prior to that, after the colonies had begun to be settled, right? Most of which, by the way, in fact, all of them, with the exception of one, I believe, colony, was founded on a religious ground. By the by, See if that's taught in your schools. But every single one of them had gone dark. There were some really dark, disgusting, ungodly times. But again, in the 1750s, 1760s, by 1765, the first Great Awakening had begun and had taken hold here in America. Some of the most famous people in America in the 1750s and 1760s, leading up to the Stamp Act time, leading up, were not the Adamses, were not these politicians, weren't the Sons of Liberty. They were the preachers, literally going town to town, in front of 5,000 people here, 10,000 people here, this, that. It was the activation of the people, the activation through God and through the teachings of preachers from the pulpit that led us to understand liberty should be right and righteous. Liberty is the righteous cause. And the people of 1765 and beyond said, you're right. This is what we stand for. This is what we're going to stand up to. We are not going to allow the crown to abuse us anymore. I want you to understand the letter gives us that great insight. Despite the despotic monarchy, which held all the charters and the rights of these colonies in the palm of his hand, right? King George III. There were people here unafraid to confront, to go on offense, to stand against the injustice and the unjust treatment from the most powerful monarchy in the world. They literally said, screw you to the most powerful government in the world. Is our government the most powerful government in the world right now? Yes. Yes, it is. Despite what China wants to believe. If you want to talk about the spirit of 76, I beg you to have the spirit of 65. I beg you. I beg of you to understand that while the odds, while the bureaucracy of today seem insurmountable, there's one place where it is not, and it is within the Spirit of God in His Son, Jesus Christ. And they give us the blueprint to say, stand up, say no. And be confrontational about it. They took direct action. They aimed all of the arrows of their society at that despotic monarchy. From the pamphlets to confrontations in the streets, literal confrontations to, I don't advocate for this, to tar and feathering, but also so very much more. You know, we talk about the Boston Tea Party. We talk about all this other stuff. But those things happened because they were being confrontational to a monarch who didn't want to take hold of the liberty of the colonists. The Sons of Liberty sprung from the taverns of Boston all the way to the rest of the 13 colonies by 1765. And they became men of action, not just sitting around talking while slinging back some beers. No. They became men of action, but they did so. And I want to make sure that I insert a word of caution, because they did so confrontationally, right? But confrontation of our spirit of the age does not mean that we have to or should or I ever would advocate getting violent. In fact, after we get done with this history lesson, I am going to talk about what we do need to do to play offense. And it involves three words, two of which I've already spoken about. Control and power. And the third word, meekness. But let me go ahead and finish up the Adams letter. Because he finishes it saying, how long we are to remain in this languid condition, this passive obedience to the Stamp Act, is not certain. But such a pause cannot be lasting. Debtors grow insolent, creditors grow angry, and it is to be expected that the public offices will very soon be forced open unless such favorable accounts should be received from England as to draw away the fears of the great, or unless a greater dread of the multitude should drive away the fear of censure from G. Britain. It is my opinion that by this timorous inactivity, we discover cowardice and too much respect and regard to the act. This rest appears to be by implication, at least an acknowledgement of the authority of Parliament to tax us. And if this authority is once acknowledged and established, the ruin of America will become inevitable. So, are we looking to go on offense? He is literally saying, if we don't go on offense, if we don't stand up, if we don't draw the line in the sand, if you don't, whatever freaking metaphor you want to use, right? If we don't go on offense, as we look at that blueprint that John Adams and the other members of the Sons of Liberty are giving to us, if we don't do that today, what do we do about going on offense? What do we expect to happen to liberty? The ruin of America will become inevitable. Again, this rest appears to be, by implication at least, an acknowledgement of the authority of Parliament to tax us. And if this authority is one time acknowledged and established, the ruin of America will become inevitable. You know the whole saying, right? Taxation without representation, all that stuff. It comes from this. The recognition of the authority of the crown to tax the people who have no representation is the ruin of America. They stood up. They refused. And they refused mightily, angrily, but under control. Now, what do we do about going on offense in 2022? Tar and feathering ain't it, bro. Sorry to tell you. Neither is the good old, just vote for the GOP this time around the ballot box and everything will turn itself around. So what is it that's going to bring liberty out of the darkness that it is surrounded by today? Well, I actually think a good friend of the program, at least critical thinking, Steve Dace, has it about right. We need to maintain meekness, otherwise known as power under control. And again, as we say, no more, you shall not pass to the insanity, the chaos, the spirit of the age, the control, the authoritarianism, socialism, whatever you want to label it as, right? This insanity, the chaos that the spirit of the age has planted into our society. We cannot be the ones that go insane. We have to confront. We do have to be strong. But you do so from a sense of principle and convictions. Do so from a sense of thought out action. We must do so with a sense that we might not be liked in the moment. We might lose some social media followers, or people at work might think we're a little weird because they're used to conforming instead of confronting the spirit of the age. But once the eyes have opened up to liberty again, we, you, I, those of us who have walked this path of reviving liberty, will indeed be liked, loved. Because we were the ones that said, no more, you shall not pass. We stood strong, we stood firm, and we stood with conviction. Not with violence, conviction, meekness. Meekness beats weakness, and the spirit of the age is always weak. It's always weak when it's confronted by the meek. In fact, I actually do want to read something from Steve Dace's last book, Do What You Believe, or You Won't Be Free to Do It Much Longer, where he actually talks about meekness leading to success. In the book, Steve tells us, quote, "Before we take back our power as a people, we need to remember how to wield it. We don't throw tantrums. In our anger, we do not sin. Instead, we let our anger motivate us to righteous action. We don't seek vengeance. We do not hate. That does not mean that we are not aggressive or non-confrontational," unquote. My argument, my thesis in coming up with this entire podcast is what? Has been what? That liberty is the antidote to the rot of the spirit of the age. It is the vaccine, if you will. Liberty is to the spirit of the age, as rain is to the wicked witch of the West. It will melt all of it away. But you can't morph in to that what has given to the spirit of the age its power. You cannot morph into the wicked witch of the West, right? You know, hatred, chaos, you can't be that. All in the hopes that if you just do it better than they do, or you're doing it for a righteous cause, that it'll work. I mean, think about this. In The Wizard of Oz, right? Did Dorothy succumb to the wickedness of the bad witch? No. Dorothy literally uses kindness and goodness to overcome evil. In fact, dare I say that The Wizard of Oz is the modern example of how meekness wins? I mean, you could make that argument. You could look to The Lord of the Rings. You could look to other Star Wars in some cases, right? It's the meek over the weak. Is Darth Vader all-powerful? No, he's weak. Because his mind is weak. Because the spirit of the age, right? The spirit is weak. If your spirit is strong, if it is right and right and just and righteous, you can win. How you can win over the spirit of the age without having to act just like it is exactly what The Wizard of Oz, exactly what Lord of the Rings, exactly what Star Wars is all about. This is a tale as old as time in the Bible. This is it. The blueprint has been in front of us all along. Again, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is knowing the power that you have, the power that is involved in your liberty mindset, and exactly how and when to show that power. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Be the example of not reacting to the chaos around you. Be the example of standing boldly and firmly for the values and principles of liberty. Be bold. Be firm. It's okay. It is okay to be confrontational. The Bible is full of Jesus, full of God, showing us good and bad examples of confrontation and bold action. There's nothing more bold than Jesus Christ saying, "I am the Messiah." There's nothing more bold than Jesus Christ getting on the cross, dying for our sins, fulfilling the prophecy. Be unflinching in the face of the chaos, in the face of the insanity that is the spirit of today's age. But meekness is about knowing enough to be smart in the chaos as well. Again, not reacting violently, not becoming some stupid viral meme or TikTok video for your reaction to the insanity. Because that's exactly what the spirit of the age wants. It wants to gobble it up time and time again. When you look at what's going on with the FBI and the Whitmer kidnapping case, that is the spirit of the age. They literally are attempting to entrap and ensnare and use the righteous anger, use the outrage, use that endorphin, you know, that endorphin hit. They want to use your indignation against you. Meekness being power under control is also about this key thing, controlling and watching whom and how you speak. Yes, I'm not talking about, by the way, now, furthermore, meekness, again, being power under control, is about controlling and watching whom and how you speak. I'm not saying freedom of speech goes away. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is know your audience. Be smart about the conversations that you're having. Don't be the one that end up on the Spirit of the Ages version of Libs of TikTok or whatever the hell they're going to come up with. Because here's the thing. You want to talk about playing offense. Libs of TikTok is playing offense. It's also doing exactly what we've been talking about and just simply let them speak for themselves, right? Literally, we've got the Spirit of the Age. Every single freaking day getting in front of the camera, they cannot resist getting in front of the camera and telling us, hey, folks, here I am. This is the insanity. This is my authoritarianism. Also, you're all bigots, right? Come react to me. Come. And at times, we're all guilty of reacting to that Spirit of the Age crowd. But that reaction should just be about exposing them, as I've mentioned before. Letting them just speak. Letting them just get it out as far and wide as humanly possible, because you know it to be insane, and everybody else with half of a brain, with half of an idea of what liberty is, knows it. But then you calmly go about your day, continue to show your meekness for the win. I mean, seriously, playing offense is as simple and as complicated as confronting that which is wrong and standing by liberty. Be the example of calm in the face of chaos. That can simply be the change that's needed, even if it was just one person, one block, one community at a time. You may not even notice the change right away, but those simple baby steps become something much bigger until the Spirit of the Age crowd wouldn't dare go down, you know, I don't know, the groomer route with your kids, wouldn't dare suggesting that liberty is government giving you rights and then taking your natural rights away from you because, well, we wanna do something. At the end of the day, it is offense that we're trying to play. And I cannot think of a better way to play offense than to stand in the starkest of contrast to the chaos that the Spirit of the Age is attempting to put into our lives every single day. Stand boldly, stand firmly, stand with meekness. Confront their weakness with your meekness, and you will win. So on that fine final note, it's time to put a bow on this edition of Reviving Liberty. I will be back later on this week with a second episode to make up for the one that we missed together last week. But until then, I'm Andrew Coppins saying, give me liberty or give me death.